This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday. July wheat ended the day at 513.5. That was down 18.75. September wheat ended at 521.25, down 17.5. December wheat ended at 535, down 17. July corn yesterday ended at 357.25, down 7.75. September corn ended at 364.25, down 8.25. December corn ended at 375.25, down 7.75. July soybeans yesterday ended at 949.5, down 2. August beans 934.75, down 2.25. September beans ended at 923.5, down 2.75. July soybean meal yesterday ended at 314.40, down 21. August meal 306.70, down 17. September meal 302.30, down 21. July soybean oil yesterday ended at 33.87, down 6. August oil ended at 33.91, down a nickel. And September oil ended at 33.96, down a nickel. July oats ended the day at 255.75. That was down 1.5. September oats ended at 261.5. That was up 2. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for a recap of the cash grain markets.
This is Wednesday's report of grain prices and trends prepared by the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were lower late Wednesday afternoon, with wheat values closing sharply lower. Higher than expected carryout figures for corn and wheat helped to push prices lower. The lower corn and wheat values weighed on the soybean prices. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn 8 cents lower at 3.32 to 3.48. Soybeans are down 2 cents at 9.34 to 9.44. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn mostly 7 to 9 cents lower at 3.37 to 3.54. Soybeans closed mixed, ranging 9.43 to 9.58. In the southern part of the state, elevators and mills reported shell corn mostly 5 to 9 cents lower at 3.37 to 3.62. Soybeans are 2 to 3 cents lower at 9.43 to 9.63. Wheat was down 18 to 27 cents at 4.71 to 4.93. Illinois soybean processor cash bids were mostly 2 cents lower at 9.74 to 9.89. Basis levels were unchanged at 25 to 40 over the July. High-protein soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at $326.40 to $339.40 per ton. That's down $2.10, with the basis level steady at 12 to 25 over July. Illinois corn processor cash bids were down 6 to 8 cents at $357 to $368. Basis levels were unchanged to 2 cents higher at option to 11 over the July. Illinois River barge loading elevators placed their producer corn market 7 to 10 cents lower at 354 to 360. Basis levels were mixed at 300 to 3 over the July. Soybeans closed 3 to 4 cents lower at 962 to 969. Basis levels were 1 to 2 cents lower at 13 to 20 over July. New crop wheat closed 23 to 24 cents lower at 477 to 489. Basis levels were 4 to 5 cents lower at 36 to 24 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn market 5 to 7 cents lower at 375 to 376. These elevators lowered their soybean bids 2 cents at 987 to 988. Soft wheat's down 21 to 24 cents at 503 to 514. Milo was 7 to 8 cents lower at 407 to 424. Contract bids to producers for fall delivery corn and soybeans in northern and western Illinois, fall delivery shell corn contracts were offered at 335 to 350. Fall delivery soybean contracts range from 878 to 893. In central Illinois, fall delivery shell corn contracts were quoted at 336 to 352. Fall delivery soybean contracts at $8.66 to $9. In the southern part of the state, fall delivery shell corn contracts were quoted at $3.35 to $3.56. Soybean contracts were offered at $8.80 up to $8.99. And June-July delivery soft wheat contracts in the southern part of the state were quoted in a range of 473 to 493. That concludes Wednesday's grain market summary.
Livestock futures on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, June hogs ended the day at 81.30, up a dime. July hogs ended at 79.87, down a dime. August hogs ended at 79.25, down 15. June live cattle yesterday ended the day at 155.80, up 72. August cattle 153.52, up 65. And October cattle ended at 155.37, up a half dollar. August feeder cattle yesterday ended the day at 226.77, up 255. September feeders ended at 224.85, up 217. October feeders ended at 222.77, and that was up 202. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for a recap of the cash livestock markets.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday the 10th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 89 cents lower in the range of 66 to 79, with a weighted average carcass price of $77.32. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading $1 to $2 higher, with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 25 to 33, 4 to 5 weights 28 to 35, 5 to 6 weights 31 to 37, and 6 weights and up 33 to 38. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts, the country buying points were trading steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $52 to $57. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 8,504 head. And now for the opening report from the Greenville Livestock Auction. They had receipts of 305 head. Steers and heifers were $4 lower, and Holstein steers untested early. Starting with the Choice Slaughter steers, they were 153 to 156. Choice Slaughter heifers, 154 to 155. Now moving over to United Producers at Shelbyville. They had receipts of 446 head, starting with the Choice Slaughter steers, 154 to 163.50. Choice Slaughter Holstein steers, 144 to 150. And Choice Slaughter heifers were 154 to 159. Now from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 400 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass, $87.08, and that was 34 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses, $247.66, that was 46 cents lower, 46 cents higher. Select carcasses were $240.73, that was 2 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was established at 91,000. That compared to 111,000 last week and 114,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 421,000. That compared to 418,000 last week and 409,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Our guests are Dave Rupert, dairy farmer in Nokomis, and Joyce Fickrey of the Dairy Council. And you live in Springfield, is that correct, Joyce?
I live in Springfield. I work for the St. Louis District Dairy Council, and we have an area office in Springfield and also one in Bloomington.
Good. And so your area covers, like, literally all of Illinois, mid-Illinois South and St. Louis area.
I cover about 34 counties in Illinois.
Wow, so that's a big area.
I'm heading down to Washington County, Nashville, Illinois, to be talking to a group of teachers. So.
Well, that's dairy country too, isn't it down there?
It is also. Yes.
Okay, that brings a good question. How many dairy farms are there in our area, Montgomery, Macoupin, Bond County? How many have we got left?
Well, Montgomery County, we're down to 5 dairy farms. Christian County, there's none. Macoupin County has 2 or 3. That's all that's left. So we're getting to be a real minority. And one of the problems is just there's not enough economics there to continue. We're subject, you know, to the milk price being set by so many things, exports, the weather has effect on us, these government programs have an effect. Getting back to less consumption of milk, well, one of the big users of milk is breakfast with cereal, and cereal purchases are way down, so you know that means that they're not putting milk on that cereal.
Right.
So that's the big challenge right now is just, like most things, is economics on the farm. And the time and investment that we have to put into the farm. Like, I'm 70 years old now, and I'm still getting up at 4 o'clock, going till 6:30, 7 o'clock at night. And then we got to have somebody to continue on, and I'm fortunate that my youngest daughter and her husband are wanting to continue on, so hopefully we'll still have a dairy farm for a few years anyway.
Well, let's say we all hope so too, you know, but, if they're going out like that.
But a lot of places that doesn't happen because the children, you know, they go off to college, which all our kids did, and they get a position and they can't afford to come back, really.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to talk a bit about just the process of getting that milk from the cow into that carton or that jug, you know, in the dairy case at the grocery store. Yeah. How? What all do you go through? Okay. How does it happen?
Well, we milk twice a day. Some farms are milking three times a day. And it's really the milk, and this is something a lot of people don't realize, it's never touched by human hand. We put the milkers on. It goes through sanitized lines and so forth into a receiving jar, and then it's got a pump that kicks it into the holding tank, or the what we call the bulk tank. And every other day, the milkman comes with his stainless steel semi-truck and picks it up through hoses again, so it's never, milk is never exposed even to air, really. And he gets to, our milk goes to Carlinville, to Prairie Farms. He backs up his tanker to a large receiving tank, and the same way the hoses are hooked up and it goes into there. And, of course, on the farm, we are very careful that the milk stays clean, free from antibiotics, and this is something that's really important. All the milk is checked probably at least four times before it ever gets into even into the process of going to a carton. On the farm, if we do use any antibiotics, we have testers right on the farm where we test the milk to see if it's clean before it goes into the bulk tank. When the milkman comes, he takes another sample. When he gets to the dairy, that sample is checked before the milk truck is even unloaded. And then before it goes into the carton, everything is checked again for bacteria, antibiotics, and there's what we call a PI count, which is an indication of how long it will stay in that carton on the shelf at the store. And Prairie Farms, we're very proud of the fact that most of our milk will be fresh for 21 to 24 days, above most of the average. We pride ourselves on that quality. But not only that, unlike most farms, we have federal inspections, we have state inspections. We're unannounced. Inspectors come into our facilities just like they do a restaurant, check for cleanliness, see that we got everything up to specs. And like just last week, we had inspector come. He took a sample of our water. The water has to meet purity just like the city water does. It's as safe as it can be. Consumer doesn't have to worry about anything contaminating the milk.
I think one of the greatest things about food production in the United States, certainly dairy involved, included in that, the milk doesn't come from China or Australia or someplace like that. It's close. The milk that we drink is very local. You know,
right.
And thanks to Prairie Farms for that, I gotta say.
Right, not only from Dave, but also, as you mentioned, Prairie Farms is not too far away from here.
So. No.
Milk is local.
Prairie Farms has 20-some plants that produce milk around the Midwest here. So milk is not only produced locally that you drink, but it's what's the word I'm thinking of?
Processed.
It's processed locally.
Right.
So the chain is so tightly watched and it's so close together that it's just perfect. Mm-hmm. It really is. The last thing that I wanted to touch on, what do you see in the future? I know you talked about it's so easy to go to college and then get a position somewhere else and not come back. But without romanticizing it, we have to have dairy farms. We got to have it.
Yeah, we certainly hope so. Anyway, it looks like it's following a lot of the other agriculture, the swine industry, the poultry industry, where the farms are just getting larger. We basically have still family farms, family owned, but we have a lot more outside people work doing the actual labor. That is probably going to be the biggest changes, and that's why it hasn't grown here in this area. First of all, most of us, you're limited with water. You know, you start talking about 1,000, 2,000 cows, 50 gallon of water just to drink a day, takes a lot of water. And so in this area, that's been a limiting thing. We do have an advantage with a great grain supply for feed. The future, I mean, it's there, and the families are adopting that really can stay into it, the ones that have the resources of land and so forth. So we'll have a good supply of milk.
The technology is allowing right. you to at least have enough labor, even though there's not as many, because you don't have to have as many. I won't say hands-on because no hands touch it, but you don't have to have as many people involved.
And this is why there's one at Greenville. There's a couple down now by Oakville, and they're going in fast, the robot milkers. So you don't have to have somebody in the morning and the evening or three times a day come in and actually stand there and get the cows in and out and milk them. It's, like you said, technology. The computer and the robot, if there's a problem, it warns the owner or the herd manager, and then he goes and checks it out. So, and even the last magazine, they had a complete robotic feeding system. Of course, this all takes extra money, and that's why the herds are bigger, so you can spread your cost over per cow cost. But, yeah, there's ways that they're working with the labor situation.
I sure want to thank you both for being part of our Dairy Week here at WSMI, because we've certainly put together this series of shows this week. I hope that June being Dairy Month, and I hope that your opportunity to get the word out, I hope we've done our part to let people know what's going on and the challenges and the joys, so to speak, for what you do. Thanks, Dave Rupert. Thanks, Joyce Fickrey, for being our guest this week.